Welcome to Last Two Pages, a podcast where two best friends who love to read just can't keep it to themselves. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Megan. And on this episode, we'll be talking about judging a book by its cover.
Our favorite pastime.
We're all good at. So it'll be great. How are you?
I'm so good.
So good.
The sun comes out every day now. It's so nice and warm.
Something intrinsically happened to my brain makeup. That did not make sense. But something happened during daylight savings that I can't ever explain, but every year it hits me like a punch in the face.
Truck of bricks.
It's just crazy. My whole life gets like turned around. But God, doing like after work every day, I work in 8 to 5 or whatever, and like being able to just do yoga in my apartment and it being light
sunny
enough
still.
And then it sunsets as I finish up.
Yeah.
Oh, it feels so good. Like it's great. There's nothing more depressing than like watching the sun go down and you're still on Teams.
That's so
Microsoft
true.
Teams, like mm-mm.
I am just a summer girl. And I will say, this early spring we've got in Minnesota, the amount of mosquitoes I've seen already.
I'm terrified.
I've never seen a mosquito in March before. Ever.
I'm very scared.
But I'm doing good.
I'm really sad that we didn't get the good old Minnesota winter, but I also am excited that we get a lot of sun this summer. I
hope
need the sun.
We get some freaking rain, though. Otherwise, we're going to be in a drought again. We're ready in a fire warning.
Oh.
It did snow this morning.
It snowed this morning, and now it's sunny and beautiful out. Like, if I look out this way, we have a window here. It's, like, glaring off the cars. But it's beautiful out.
What a weird time we live in.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Megan?
You're so right, Teresa.
And
thanks
you,
so much
Dave.
For bringing that up.
In Illinois, where 3 cows have escaped from the pasture.
Oh, are you being like a...
I mean, I was trying to be funny in a newscaster, but it's okay. I couldn't think of a better...
Doot, 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 doot.
It's just in. The 3 cows have escaped.
Welcome to Channel 9 News. I feel like I could do a good newscaster voice. Not this podcast voice. We had to... Okay, Teresa... had to train out my like
oh my gosh
voice that I would use for the podcast. I could not be normal for the longest amount of time.
I could not be normal at all. She would just like she would be trying to seduce you all, which she already is trying to do.
Hey yo.
But it was more like a blah, 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 blah. She thought she was on NPR.
Welcome
be for real.
To Last Two Pages and this episode of whatever the fuck we're talking about.
No, literally.
Like, I don't know why. I NPR. Couldn't get it out of my head, though. Like, speaking to a mic and listening to yourself is a wild experience. So if any of you have experienced that, I'm sure you know what I'm talking
honestly,
about.
Honestly, everyone should make a podcast. It's so fun.
Yeah. Agree.
You learn a lot. You grow.
Agree, agree.
And when people tell you to stop making a podcast, you just say, no. I'm having fun.
We're just girls.
I'm just a girl.
Right.
I'm just a girl. Just a girl.
Speaking of girls, girls can be judgmental. That's how we're going to lead
A-plus
into this.
A+ transition.
Thank you. I was like, I don't know how to transition into
girls
this.
Girls can be judgmental.
Middle school is so hard. Just kidding.
I had a great
but
time.
I don't know.
School.
We were kind of talking about judging books by their covers and like, you know, you walk into the bookstore and there's 100 million books and like, how do you choose what you're going to read next? We obviously read quite a few books every year. And like, what does that process look like for us kind of? And like, how do you as our listener read books on your own? Like, how do you choose those things? So this is just kind of like how we do it. But we also wanted to talk about judging books by their cover in a non-literal sense, my first impressions of Teresa.
Yeah, not mine and Megan, because I don't remember her.
I'm forgettable, if nothing else. Mm. The microphone just went for a caress on Teresa's boob.
Caress. Like, copped a feel.
You've been teasing it all day.
Oh, I know.
So yeah, I guess my first impression of Teresa, like, not when I first met her in preschool or anything, because like when you're in kindergarten, you're just learning sentience. You don't really understand what people are doing, but it's still like you play family and you're the dog or the cat. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
the mom
you don't
dad.
Really know any piece of society. But I will say my first impression of Teresa in middle school was about the same
as it was in kindergarten.
Yeah, acted as a boy. No, I'm just kidding. Not quite that bad.
My dad said he did not raise me to be his son. After he heard us talk about that, he said, I didn't do it. And then I'm like, okay, I'm just a dad's daughter, basically.
John.
I know.
Be for real.
He's like, you just liked those things. I was like, I did.
No, I think you in middle school were a formidable force. That is the word I'm going to use. You had energy. You had attitude. You had this fierceness that was like genuinely a little terrifying. But I was always like drawn to you because you always had like a group of people around you that maybe they weren't encouraging you, but they always wanted to see what you wanted, like what you were about to do next.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so it was fun to like watch Teresa as like a background character and be like, oh God, why is her shirt soaking wet? Like it's the middle of winter. Like why? I don't know. Like there were so many occasions.
What instance are you drawing from?
I feel like there was a time where it was like one of our like youth group events and either water bottles were out or people were like throwing water at each other in the girl's bathroom. And like, I vividly remember your shirt being sopping wet and it was like, what's going on? Like, how are you this wet? It's
no
like
memory.
Indoors.
No recollection.
But it was stuff like that. Like, where did you get the things that you have in your hands right now? Like,
oh, I think I do remember my first impression of you.
Let me hear it.
It's just, I was a homeschooler, so I had a radar for those things. And then when Megan, like, because I don't really remember, actually.
You're supposed to clock me so bad right now.
It was just, I have the picture so vividly in my head.
I just felt bad for you.
It's the short hair, or it's like the blonde hair, and you were just kind of like, I guess awkward is the best word to use. Awkward and not clunky. Clunky is a bad word. It's like not in a bad way, but she just, you didn't know how to occupy the space you were in. And it was just, you were a little nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Nerd.
I had a little speech impediment. I just didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't know
that ever.
But I didn't talk. That's
you
why.
Did kind of have like a lish because you had glasses, I think. Or
yeah, I had a lisp because I had glasses. Because
you had braces.
Yeah, I did have braces when I was 13 and 14. So that's valid. Yeah.
And you were always with Kate.
I was. Yeah, she was my best friend at the time. That's crazy. But you know, it just is. I think that we grew up on such different
vibes.
Yeah. And I think that like really was apparent when we first like met each other. And so, yeah, I think while some of those things hold true, I think that we're obviously way different people now. But that's still interesting to think about, you know?
I am actually the exact same person I was.
Your shirt's sopping wet as we're speaking.
It is. It's actually your lilac sweater, so
isn't it cute?
We're kind of Easter themed this week for Easter.
Easter.
Speaking of childhood,
yeah. Okay, so funny story about this poncho. For those on audio right now, I am wearing a poncho that is multicolored. It's like green and blue and purple, and it's kind of made out of an itchy yarn material. But it's a woven poncho that I got at a thrift convention that was here a few months ago, and my sister actually saw it, and I like fell to my knees in the middle of this convention center. Just kidding.
No,
I was very excited though, because my grandma, when I was very little, knit me a poncho exactly like this in this exact yarn. And it felt like it was a moment that, for lack of a better term, like universe led, right? Like something in the universe happened where I had to have this poncho. And I was just so excited to be able to, like, I feel like my little self, like, I hated wearing this poncho when I was little because I couldn't get it dirty and I couldn't, like, be myself in it. And now I feel like it's full circle. Like, I'm wearing this on the podcast where, if nothing else, I'm being as authentic as I can, even though it's kind of scary for me.
And even when I saw it in her closet, I was like, I swear I've seen that before. And I'm like, I remember her wearing that as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
We'll put in a picture of me wearing this poncho. I feel like that would be very cute.
The video. Mm-hmm. Check that out on YouTube like 4 days after the audio goes out. We usually post them on Saturdays if you want to watch. But here we are.
Yeah.
And
books that have been judged and...
Did you think negatively? Wait, I guess you were drawn to me. So basically,
I was
a book you wanted to read.
I was drawn to you, but I was very terrified of you. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, I breathe fire.
She was a very domineering personality to be around. And dad was also the youth leader. I think that's an important distinction to make. And I was unfortunately made an example of as I grew up in that youth group.
You were made an example
of what not to do.
Not by my father.
No, by other people. But it still continued to like affect, I think, maybe
I was just given way too much free rein.
That's what it was for you. But I think that's why we were kind of at like this weird, not point of contention, but like if we banded together at the ages that we did, we could have been absolute menaces. Oh, so it makes sense why they made sure we were not close. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a strategic moment. They were like, if these two come together, they're going to be way too powerful.
They're like, no, they will break the federal law.
It's a clear morning and you have nothing to read and nothing that you've started yet. What do you do?
Scroll on my phone.
In a fantasy world where you are immediately drawn to a book.
I would like to say I follow a list, and sometimes I do, but I am a mood reader. Yeah. And whenever I like stick to a TBR, if it's a TBR of books that I like am vibing for, I get through them in that order.
Okay.
Otherwise, I don't know.
Just rando central. Okay. Kind of. So, like, tell me about this mood reading. Like, do you have a specific book? When you're in a certain mood, do you read certain types of books?
Yeah. If my life is really chaotic, I'll often be pulled towards, like, big series. But then after I finish those series, I love a cleanse, a palate cleanse, a little one-off after that, which usually is taken over by a hockey romance, or if I'm in a slump, a modern romance will help me get out of that.
Oh, okay.
And so if like I haven't read for a while, it's like I need to be eased into it. And I think that's why I am having a hard time with Lord of the Rings right now, because I'm like forcing myself to read it, so it's not natural, even though it's just like me and Sir Ian McKellen are still like fighting in my brain for who gets to read this book as I'm looking at the pages.
It's actually
funny. And I'm losing.
It's very valid.
So that's a struggle, because then my TBR is just looking so sexy in the corner of my room, because I'm like, I know I could just like blast through those books.
Mm-hmm.
So that's hard about when you're reading like a heavier book, is that you know that there's books that like could be read easier, and then sometimes you're like, comparison is the thief of joy.
Mm-hmm. I am also a mood reader, but not necessarily like I'm in a happy mood, so I'm gonna read this genre or, you know, something like that. It's just kind of like honestly, it's dictated by whatever is rented on Libby, if I'm being honest, whatever shows up first. So that's why I'm like in this haphazard, like, oh, what am I reading right now? I was waiting for this book for 200 weeks, so I probably should read it now. And
are you on a wait list that long?
Yeah.
For what?
I don't remember. I've been on them for very long amounts of time, though. I'm pretty sure that one was for the Poppy War. So I had to... No,
like
it's for Once
years.
Upon a Broken Heart.
That's like 4 years.
It was a long time. And that's why I got another library card. Yeah, I needed to get two. Because it was a long time to wait for some of these. So for me, I'm like, okay, well, what I audiobook normally is dictated by what comes up on Libby. Because I don't rent... You can rent ebooks on Libby as well. So if you want to read on your Kindle, you can rent books that way, which is great.
Wait, really?
Yes. Yes.
Why haven't I done
so,
that?
So Libby, if you're not involved in Libby at all, it's an app. You just need a library card and you can rent books from your local library, audiobook or ebook. Sometimes you have to wait for them, but most of the time it doesn't take way too long. You will save hundreds of dollars.
That's some hot girl shit.
It's
right there.
Incredible. I love it. I've gone through so many books that way. And if I really love the book, then I'll go out and buy it. It feels like I'm just renting and I am renting.
How does
so
that help our libraries?
Time.
I feel like that. Do they get money? Do
yeah.
they get something?
Yeah. But they only have certain amounts of books that they can rent at a time, right? Mm. But that boosts their numbers. They know like what people in the community want. But it's not like libraries are nonprofit.
Support local libraries.
Yeah. So it's great.
Hashtag not sponsored.
But yeah, I very much... The books that I do buy, I do have a physical TBR that sits on a cart. And I have some that are on my shelf too. And sometimes they're on the cart and they get moved back to the shelf because I'm like, I don't want to read this. I just like there's nothing in me that's pulling me to this. I've tried to read it for several months and I either don't have time or I'll wait, you know.
Real.
So I think that's part of it. But do you ever like choose books by the author or anything like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like as I've said before, anything like Sarah J. Maas is going to write, I'm going to read.
Right.
Just because she's cemented in my brain as someone that's like going to take you on some type
of journey.
Exactly.
Lord, a journey.
Also, Holly Black. I'll read pretty much anything, even though I had a regret. Book of Night was just not great. But everything else, I love, like, Darkest Part of the Forest by Holly Black. Love that book. It was such a cute little novel. And it was the first, like, review I posted on Instagram that, like, someone, like, immediately went and read. And I felt, wow. I was like,
that's amazing.
I'm an influencer. No, that's disgusting.
You
I
are.
I said that. But it was the first time I was like, oh, I, people are, yeah, they, yeah, they want to read as if I like it.
I think I'm the same with authors. Amy Kaufman, read anything she writes. And Marie Lu.
Mm.
Marie Lu is an incredible author.
Oh, sorry. You keep going.
Oh.
I just remembered like Ruta Sepetys. I'll also read whatever she writes.
Oh, right, right. No. No. Marie Lu just writes some incredible books. And I've kind of like waited for some of them. And I've regretted not reading them. Like every time I go in and read one, I'm like, why did I not read this sooner? Like, it's been out for years. Why have I not? Mm. Also, Marissa Meyer. She's the one that wrote the Lunar Chronicles.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Wait, oh. Megan Spoon and Marissa Meyer became the same person in my brain.
No.
Even though I knew that.
True. Yeah, Marissa Meyer is great, though. I've really liked her books, too. And that's a new addition to my list of authors that I'm, like, auto-read. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of YA. And honestly... The authors that write
good.
YA well can excel in anything. They don't have to rely on anything. And the plot's just the gabagoo.
Whoa.
The gabagoo.
Whoa.
I'm doing this a lot and I don't know why.
Gabagoo
what's going
is a
on?
Deep cut. I haven't thought about that in like, whoa.
Work.
Yes.
Do you like reading in like a book club at all?
No. Because if I'm going to read a book, I'm either going to sprint it or I'm going to take my damn time. Wow, that vocal fry.
I think it has to be a very specific book for me to actually successfully read in a book club. Because, yeah, I either read it way too fast or I don't read it because I'm forced to do something. And it would something have to, about me, if I'm forced to do it, I'm not going to do it.
It would have to be like a mental thing. Like, this is a book. I feel like back in high school when it's like, read this chapter by this day, you know, which could kind of be fun. But also, I feel like that might take the fun out of it for me.
I like that in a buddy read. But book club, I feel like, is harder. I'm doing a buddy read right now, and it's great. Like, I actually really enjoyed it. Parker and I are reading The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
By Douglas Adams, which has been great. I'm a sci-fi reader, and he likes classics. And so this is kind of like our meet in the middle on, like, absurdism. Whoa. And it's great. It's very philosophical. It has a lot of great characters.
It is?
Yeah. Well, it's a whole, like, it's, the book is about absurdism and the idea that, like, nothing in the universe has to matter for us to find meaning from it.
Why did I think it was like the Space Odyssey?
I mean, it's very space.
Or that Beatles, like, space musical movie. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, not
that's
that
what I thought The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was.
No.
Isn't it a movie?
Yeah, I haven't watched it, though. I mean, neither of us have watched it. So when I go and visit, I'm visiting Parker. Haha. I'm very excited. It's been 3 months. So in the meantime, we're going to finish that book and then discuss it and watch the movie together. So I feel like that's a cute little.
That is cute.
So, yeah, I feel like buddy reads are only successful if it's like, all right, this week we're going to read until this chapter. I feel like that's way easier. And I, speaking of that on school, you can normally look up, like, when do you take breaks as a teacher? And you can kind of follow those rules. And so it, like, stops at good plot points.
Oh.
So that's kind of a better way to do it if you're worried about, like. So, yeah, if you want to do a book club or a buddy read, like, you can just look up that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's clever.
A great way to do it.
But at that point, I would just spark notes it like I did in high school.
I think ultimately when you're trying to choose a book, just trust your gut.
I'm drawn to the pretty books that are, if it's fantasy, I'm going to want to read you. That's just what it is.
Is there anything physical you look for on the book? Like,
if it's pretty, like if they do a good job constructing image and lettering that doesn't look
Cheesetown.
Yeah, like the new From Blood and Ash, like, updated covers.
Not
and if
for
it
me.
If it's sleek, but it can also be complex. It just has to, like, as an artist,
that though
it's gotta draw my eye, and it has to be like, it has to look like someone put their heart into it and knew how to use colors.
I want it to look like someone paid for a designer who knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
That's all I ask.
Yeah.
Please. Please. Adobe Basically Illustrator that. Is not that hard to use, but please go to professionals. That's all I'm going to say.
Support
I also,
local artists.
Yeah. Love sprayed edges. As well, if a book has a map in it, like,
a good,
all of those, yeah, like, aesthetic pieces, I'm like, yes. There is intention. I think for me, it's like the author thought that their book was meaningful and important enough to put in all of this extra time and these extra pieces to, like, really craft this book for people. I'm like, that effort means something.
I've been nodding my head for, like, 30 seconds for those who can't see me. absolutely, and especially with maps, just like it. I know I can trust that this author put a little bit more heart into, like, their story process.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that's not true, and sometimes it is.
You can kind of tell from the map, usually.
That's, you know, very true as well.
I say, as you literally are painting a map on your bedroom wall.
Oh, I finished her.
Oh, okay, tell me about it.
I've been waiting to post this on my Bookstagram for a while, but I painted the map of Middle Earth on my wall, and I'm, like, waiting to finish reading Lord of the Rings to, like, really say that I did this. But frankly, it's been a huge help mm-hmm. when I'm reading the book and I could just like look up at my wall and I'm like, oh, they connected from them.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So I'm like, it was actually great that it's there while I'm reading it because I could really like follow along.
I feel like that would be really cool to have like posters of maps mm-hmm. from books. Like I would love to have that like poster. Maybe our background will have a poster of somewhere. Like that would be really cool.
Or the Shades of Magic poster that has the maps of the multiple Londons. Hmm. The colors are black.
I have a poster of Throne of Glass and it's just all of Aelin, like
as the
characters. Yeah, I have that poster somewhere. I think I maybe tossed it because I didn't reuse it, but
okay.
Where am I gonna put that? Just Aelin across the back.
The whole imagine? Back is just Aelin. That would honestly serve.
I love that.
Or Lord and Savior.
So, in spirit of showing you and talking about our TBRs, we wanted to take the opportunity to show you what's on our TBRs right now, since we talk about what we're reading, but not necessarily like what's coming up, you know? We always are like, here's in the now, but the now changes, or like the future changes so much, so maybe I won't even get to these books.
I was about to say, I'm like, we basically just said we might not read these books.
But I don't know. I think, yeah.
I would say half of the TBR I'm bringing to the table right now is our books that I just saw and was drawn to their covers mm-hmm. and then just have collected them and I just haven't gotten around to reading them.
Right. Right. Awesome.
So yippee-ki-yay.
I love that.
I know.
I love that. I can start. So this is a book called The Things I Wish I Told My Mother by Susan Patterson and Susan DiLallo. And what do you think this book is about?
So when I first look at it, it is blue with yellow script as the title. And in the background is a little sketched out bridge and the Eiffel Tower in Paris. And there's like pink detailing, like loops on the sides. It looks like a memoir of someone who like moved to Paris for like a year and was like and made that their whole personality after that, or it's a recipe book.
Interesting. Okay, here's the back. A mother and daughter on vacation in Paris unpack a lifetime of secrets. Every daughter has her own distinctive voice and inimitable smile and her secrets. Lori is an artist who travels the world with a worn beige duffel bag. Every mother has her own distinctive voice, an inimitable style, and her secrets. Dr. Liz, Lori's mother, is an elegant perfectionist who travels the world with a matched set of suitcases. When Lori surprises her mother with a dream vacation, it brings an unexpected sparkle to her eyes. So begins Things I Wish I Told My Mother. You will wish the novel never ends.
Did they really use the word inimitable like multiple times?
Twice.
To describe the mother and daughter. That's interesting.
So I chose this
book. Oh, they say the same thing about the mother and daughter.
Yeah, yeah. So I chose this book. Me and my sister actually got this book for my mom for Christmas. And my mom really liked the book. And so she asked me to read it. And I've been meaning to read it for a few months. But she really liked it. And my mom doesn't really read contemporary books at all. And so I was really surprised when she was like, you should actually also read it. So this is my mom's book, but classic. I was really excited to read it. And mother, so I daughter. Think I don't read contemporary books, but I'm willing to give this one a try. I think it honestly will be really good. So that's what I chose. That's one book that's coming up soon.
My first book, let me pull it up, is I would say my most recent purchase by cover. It is A Fate Inked in Blood by Danielle L. Jensen, who has also written the Bridge Kingdom series and that, like Inadequate Air, all those bad boys. I literally just got this last week when I was walking in Barnes and Noble.
Right.
What do you think this is about?
So A Fate Inked in Blood has a pale blonde woman with really long hair on the cover, and behind her seems to be some sort of mural, almost seems like carved into rock or wood, and it kind of is just like loopy, almost like organic looking shapes, like leaves, maybe one is like an octopus leg or like seaweed or something, and then it seems to have a glow underneath where she is. She's touching her neck and her hand is glowing as well. So my first impression is
she's
that
she's got,
oh, she has runes on her hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like along the cover.
Interesting. So yeah, I don't know what it would be about, but I would be interested to see what she's afflicted with.
I'm pretty sure the main character's name is like Freya or something. It's,
oh, into that.
Yeah. This is the,
it definitely is Freya.
Oh, it's a fantasy? Okay.
You're so excited.
I saw it and I was like, this is stunning. And then it has blue shimmery sprayed edges. And I was like, that's
gorgeous.
And also, if I know anything about Danielle Jensen, she knows how to write a first book in a series.
Yes.
Whether or not that holds true for the other ones.
That cover makes me excited knowing how she read or wrote Bridge Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Because she's the thing about her fantasies, sorry, Danielle Jensen, whatever, because we looked up fantasy, like the definition of fantasy, and a big part of what makes fantasy is magic, but her books don't have magic in them, at least any from that world, which is, I also haven't even read this, so this is about, bound in an unwanted marriage, Freya spends her days gutting fish but dreams of becoming a warrior. Okay, Vikings! And of putting an axe in her boorish husband's back. Freya's dreams abruptly become reality when her husband betrays her to the region's Jarl, landing her in a fight to the death against his son Bjorn. To survive, Freya is forced to reveal her deepest secret. She possesses a drop of a goddess's blood, which makes her a shield maiden with magic capable of repelling any attack, and has been foretold that such magic will unite the fractured nation of Skaland beneath the one who controls the shield maiden's fate. Believing he's destined to rule Skaland as king, the fanatical Jarl binds Freya with a blood oath and orders Bjorn to protect her from their enemies. Desperate to prove her strength, Freya must train to fight and learn to control her magic, all while facing perilous tests set by the gods. The greatest test of all, however, may be resisting her forbidden attraction to Bjorn.
Yo!
If Freya succumbs to her lust for the charming and fierce warrior, she risks not only her own destiny, but the fate of all the people she has sworn to protect. Wait, I'm so excited. She can write an enemies to lovers, let me tell you. Danielle Jensen, so I'm very excited. Also, I haven't really read a Norse-inspired fantasy before.
No, I'm very excited to see how that turns out. That looks really good.
I'm excited. Oh.
Amazing. Okay. I got this book maybe 2 years ago.
I've seen that on your shelves for,
yeah, it's ever been on my TBR list for a very long time, and it's been really hard for me to pick it up because it's very daunting. Know that I also have the second book and he's coming out with a third one and I still haven't finished the first.
That's fair. Honestly,
so
wait for
it's
the third.
Hard for me to be like, oh yes. Also, I think it's also hard knowing that no one knows what this book is and I know nothing about it. But I know once I open this book, I'm gonna eat this up.
Yeah.
So what is your The Starless Crown by James Rollins.
Yes. It is giving kind of Dune vibes. It's also kind of giving, you know, like the back, the blue, like flags on the back of people's trunks. There's like a striped blue along the cover.
Girl.
And that was my first thought. Sorry. But it's obviously a sci-fi or something because there's like a mountainscape. And a man with a cane on that, but just like a silhouette of a mountain. And then there's a red circle and a blue circle that kind of cross over as a Venn diagram. And like blue splotches on the back. I don't know. Is that a moon? In the word crown, the O looks like either a golf ball or a moon.
Yes, it's a golf
ball. And then it just says a terrific bit of storytelling. That gives me nothing. I have no idea.
It doesn't tell you anything about it. Okay.
Kind of cool.
Are you ready? An alliance embarks on a dangerous journey to uncover the secrets of the distant past and save their world in a captivating visionary adventure from a New York Times bestselling thriller by James Rollins.
All right, that gave me nothing.
A gifted student foretells an apocalypse. Her reward is a sentence of death. Fleeing into the unknown, she's drawn to a team of outcasts, a broken soldier who once again takes up his weapons he's forbidden to wield and carves a trail back home, a drunken prince who steps out from his beloved brother's shadow and claims a purpose of his own, an imprisoned thief who escapes a crushing dark and discovers a gleaming artifact, one that will ignite a power struggle across the globe. On the run, hunted by enemies old and new, they must learn to trust each other in order to survive in a world evolved in strange, beautiful, and deadly ways, and uncover ancient secrets that hold the key to their salvation. But with each passing moment, doom draws closer. Who will claim the starless crown?
Oh, okay, Found Family.
I read that and I was like, wait, I need to read this.
That doesn't sound anything like this looks.
No. But I'm super excited for it. I like reading that makes me excited to read it again, right? Like, I love the little synopsis they gave of all the characters, but
that is adorable. Also,
hopefully I can read it soon.
I love on the inside of the book is, I don't really know how to describe this actually.
It's dots.
Like a design.
It's the moon.
Oh, it's the moon.
Yeah, it's basically like a dotted design of the face of the moon.
And like the in the cover mm-hmm. you right open up. Mm-hmm. Love that. It also just made me really realize I think I've become a person that only really likes single POV or dual. Don't give me like six dual, like I think.
Oh no, I eat that shit up. Give me everyone's point of view. I need to know the drama because you know some of those characters don't like the other ones.
Well, that's the thing. I'll take a third POV, I think, over like, I don't know. Actually, like I don't know what I'm saying. I just think of House of Flame and Shadow has exhausted multiple POVs for me.
Oh, that's valid. Yeah. You need a break from all that.
Yeah. So the next book I have is The Atlas Six. This is a book that I just thought looked kind of dope and got it. And then before I could read it, the next one came out. So I bought that too. And then before I read any of them, the third one just came out. So I have them all. I barely know what they're about.
Right.
What do you think?
Okay. So that's The Atlas Six by Olivia Blake
Olivia Blake.
Wow.
The Atlas Six.
All right. Olivia Blake. The cover is completely black and then there's gold like accents. It almost looks like planets circulating this eye with a sword going through the pupil, and it's everything on the page is very circular. The pupil is very circular, the eyelashes end in circles, the planets circulating are on, you know,
circles,
spherical shapes. It's a lot of circles, but the sword going through the eye is something specifically different, and it says knowledge is carnage. I don't really know anything about this series. I've heard good things, and the Bookstagram girly seem to like it, but
So this is what Amazon tells me it's about. Each decade, only the six most uniquely talented magicians are selected to earn a place in the Alexandrian Society, the foremost secret society in the world. The chosen will secure a life of power and prestige beyond their wildest dreams. But at what cost? Each of the six newest recruits has their reasons for accepting the society's elusive invitation. Oh, this is giving Mysterious Benedict Society. Even if it means growing closer than they could have imagined to their most dangerous enemies, or risking unforgivable betrayal from their most trusted allies, they will fight tooth and nail for the right to join the ranks of the Alexandrians, even if that means they won't all survive the year.
It's giving Now You See Me.
It's giving magic. Mm-hmm. That's dope though.
I'm excited. That one actually looks good.
I don't really know what like that could be about, you know.
Right.
But that's exciting.
It doesn't give you a lot, but I kind of like that. It's like, yeah, you're getting magic. Be prepared. No.
And I'm glad I have all of them. Mm-hmm. So I could.
You'll have to let me know how they are.
Don't I don't like it.
Okay. My final book is The Iron Widow by Zhuangzi Zhao.
I don't know.
Okay. I follow you on Twitter, so don't kill me for pronouncing your name wrong. Okay. I've been really excited for this.
It kind of looks like a giant phoenix wing. It has like this massive wing that like comes across and then like down into the forefront of the image. And then there's a woman. Asian in descent would be my guess. She's got this really dope gold triangular armor that kind of like goes down her back like a spine. She's got some gold hair pieces, which is fun, with gloves. And it's called the Iron Widow. Orange and black, some fierce colors.
Yeah, she looks sickening on that cover. Okay. In Huixia, I'm not sure if that's the right place. The highest honor for a young girl is to be selected as concubine pilot. Supporters paired with male pilots in order to power up chrysalises, the giant transforming mechas that humanity relies on to battle the massive aliens that lurk beyond the Great Wall. But the honor often ends in death when the 18-year-old Zetian's sister is killed by an ace male pilot. Zetian signs off up to avenge her. The vengeance is swift, brutal, and unexpected, leaving Zetian labeled as the Iron Widow, a much feared kind of female pilot who can sacrifice boys to power up chrysalises instead of the other way around. To tame her unnerving yet invaluable mental strength, she's paired up with Li Shimin, the strongest and most controversial male in Huixia. But now that Zetian has a taste of power, she will not cower so easily. She will miss no opportunity to leverage her and Shimin's combined might and infamy and survive attempt after attempt on her life until she can figure out exactly why the pilot system relies so heavily on destroying girls' lives and dismantle it for good.
Damn, I did not think that was going to be in the realm of sci-fi, like, at all. Aliens?
Yeah.
And she eats men.
So the reason I picked this up was actually because it's somewhat of a retelling of Darling in the Franxx, which is one of my favorite animes and mangas.
Really?
Yes, that is the exact same plot as Darling in the Franxx. And I'm very excited to see how she took it. Because it's basically just like, the idea is that, I don't know. I'm not actually going to get into it, but I'm very excited to read it. It's been, I saw it at Half Price Books last week and I was like, nope, this trumps everything. This is coming up. Pronto dente.
Al dente. Is that for noodles?
Yes. Okay. Pro dente, I think, is fast.
This is another book I'm very excited about because I don't think I talk enough about my love of historical fiction. But I do have a few books by Ruta Septis on my TBR, but this one is All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr. Doerr?
Doerr. Doerr, sure. So All the Light You Cannot See has a blue cover where you can see a cityscape and a sea beyond. So this is like a coastal city. You see a steeple, but everything is very blue cast. And then half of it is just the sky with clouds, and the text is white. And the one comment on the cover is incandescent with characters that are noble as they are enthralling, luminous.
This is another book I don't know anything about either. I just have it on my DVR. Actually, I have it in my room. It won a Pulitzer Prize and National Book Award finalist. Marie Laure. She lives with her father in Paris, near the Museum of Natural History, where he works as the master of It's a Thousand Locks. Okay, this is giving Hugo Cabret. When she is six, Marie Laure goes blind, and her father builds a perfect miniature of their neighborhood so she can memorize it by touch and navigate her way home. When she's 12, the Nazis occupy Paris. The father and daughter flee to the walled citadel of Saint-Malo, where Marie Laure... I don't know if it's Lori or Lore, because my mom's name is Lori, but it's L-A-U-R-I-E, but this is L-A-U-R-E, and that's throwing me off. And I want to say Lori. Anyways, her uncle, great uncle, lives in a tall house by the sea. With them, they carry what might be the museum's most valuable and dangerous jewel in a mining town in Germany, the orphan Werner. Werner, not Warner. Sad day. Grows up with his younger sister, enchanted by crude radio they find. Werner becomes an expert at building and fixing these crucial new instruments, a talent that wins him a place at a brutal academy for Hitler youth, then a special assignment to track the resistance. More and more aware of the human cost of his intelligence, Werner travels through the heart of the war and finally into Saint-Malo, where his story and Marie Lars converge. I'm so excited.
I watched like 2 episodes of the Netflix series of this.
Oh, so. You did? Is it good?
Ate it up. It's great. I haven't finished it yet, but now that you
producer
were talking to me about it.
And director of Stranger Things.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful show.
Mark
so I'm
Ruffalo.
Excited to see how you like the book.
I know, me too.
Honestly.
I haven't read historical fiction in a minute.
You're going to like that one.
So I'm very excited.
Amazing. I honestly don't even want to talk about what we're currently
me
reading.
Me neither. I don't think we need to.
No, I don't think so either. I think this is great. So knowing that you can see what's coming up for us, we honestly don't feel like we have to tell you what we're reading right now. We can keep it a secret or you can follow us on Goodreads.
Well, I'm also just still, I'm actually doing Storygraph this year still.
Okay, well, Goodreads and Storygraph, you can find us on both of those.
It's actually really funny because on Goodreads, I put like my goal of 50 books and people have liked it because it's still 0 out of 50 books. And people keep liking because they think it's funny that I... Like, it seems like I haven't read anything yet this year, but Storygraph, I have read a few books. And, well, basically, I'm still reading Lord of the Rings, and it will be for...
Quite a bit.
Yeah. I do love it, though.
I love it. I love that for you.
Anyways.
So, yeah, we're doing well. And we will keep in touch.
We'll circle back at a later date.
Yeah. You can keep up with our bookstagrams if you want to know what our latest reviews are and whatnot that aren't on the podcast. I am at the Blonde Registry.
That's real. And I'm at
the Dot Wild Spines.
I almost said the Wild Dot Spines again. That's not me. I like to take pretty pictures that I post them. Anyways, thank you all so much for listening. If you're listening at the very end of this episode, good on ya. I appreciate you so much. And you make our hearts flutter.
You light up our lives.
Baby, baby, baby.
When you touch me like this.
And you listen to our podcast. And we'll see you on the next page. We love you so. That was so bad. See you on the next page!